This afternoon we are going to think about the Psalm 118. This is quite a lengthy psalm. It stretches to 29 verses. So what we'll do, we'll read the first part of the psalm and then we'll read the final part. And this selection of verses will give you a good flavour of the content and themes of this particular Hebrew song. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. We'll move on from verse 9 to the verse 21. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvellous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord which hath showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. We know that God will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. This particular psalm forms part of a section of the psalms known as the Hallel. The word Hallel means to praise. This is sometimes known as the Egyptian Hallel. And we have noted over the previous psalms the strong emphasis that there is upon praise and worship. And these psalms were sung in the great Jewish feast days. The Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of Pentecost. But in particular, these songs were sung at the time of the Feast of the Passover. These were spiritual high days in the history of Israel when God's people came to the temple to worship him. There is strong evidence within this psalm that it was indeed sung at times of worship. There is an emphasis upon the altar, for example. God is the Lord which hath showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. And in ancient times, the altar was pivotal. It was central to worship. Where there was worship, there was sacrifice. So this psalm points us to sacrifice and to offering. It also talks about the opening of the gates of the temple in the verse 19. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. And as the pilgrims would have travelled from various parts of Israel to come to the temple, they anticipated first of all the gates of Jerusalem being opened to receive them, but more particularly they anticipated the opening of the gates of the temple so that they could go into the courts of Solomon's magnificent edifice built to the glory of Jehovah, and there they could worship God. This was a song of praise. It was a song of encouragement. It was also a song of reflection. The people would have reflected upon what God did in the past and how he delivered Israel. All nations compassed me about, verse 10 says, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They compassed me about, yea, they compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. God had delivered his people in the past, and as the pilgrims sang this song, they had a belief that the same God was alive and he would deliver his people in the future. As the people worshipped God, they thanked him for the survival of their nation, and they looked to him to maintain their nation in present and future days. This was a song of thanksgiving, a song of worship. There is every evidence that this song was still being sung whenever our Saviour was upon the earth. In fact, when the Saviour entered Jerusalem for the last time, he formed part of a procession, a festal procession. You see, as the pilgrims travelled up to Jerusalem, they proceeded to Jerusalem in a formal way, and as they came for the Passover, they would have been welcomed, and the Lord and his disciples were coming to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. And we are told in the Gospels that this psalm was quoted as the palm branches were waved. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord, verse 26. And little did those people who were rejoicing as the man Jesus entered the temple that this was indeed the Messiah. He had come in the name of Jehovah to deliver them from their sins and to save the world. Because this psalm isn't just about old Israel. This psalm is about the New Testament. It's about Christ. This is a messianic psalm. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. This psalm anticipated a brighter future day when God would send his Son into the world. But yet the people who waved those palm branches and recited these words, they were merely reciting words. They didn't really understand who the Son of God was. If they did, they would not have stood by passively and allowed the Jewish Sanhedrin to have Christ brought before Pilate and to subsequently have him crucified. How fickle men and women can be, appearing religious in the one hand, sanctimonious in the one hand, and yet turning away from God and from salvation on the other. Are you a religious person? I want to tell you something. Your religion will not get you into heaven. You need to trust Christ as your one and only Savior. He needs to be your Lord. It is not just enough to say, yes, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You need to devote your life to him so that you can truly say, blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. He has come for me to deliver me from my sins. This psalm talks about a special day in the history of the world. That day is alluded to in the verse 24. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. What is the day? Well, to understand the day, I want to show you verse 22. Because there we read about the stone which the builders refused, that became the headstone of the corner. Who is the stone refused by the builders? Understand who the builders are. The builders are the Jewish people. Who is the stone? The stone is Christ. He's the headstone of the corner. Yet the Jews refused him. The builders refused him. But yet God raised him up, made him the headstone of the corner. How did God raise him up? On the resurrection day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. The greatest day in the history of the world was the resurrection of Christ. The resurrection of Christ is attested by four independent writers. Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. They refer to the eyewitnesses. Their accounts corroborate each other, and there we observe the glorious fact that Jesus Christ is alive. And if Jesus Christ is alive, and if he defeated death, then he is the only Saviour of men. No other religion can claim a hero who lived, who died, and who rose again. Christ is the one. Are you following him today? The Apostle Peter, when he was talking to the Jews in Acts chapter 4, he referred to this passage, and then he inserted his own memorable words. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You see, Jesus Christ became the headstone of the corner. He became the prominent one because he rose again, and therefore we must be saved through him. There is no alternative. If you're not saved through the atonement of Christ, then you're not saved. If you do not have eternal life through the redemption purchased by Christ, then you do not have eternal life. There is salvation only through him. And God is building a temple. Solomon had a great temple. In the days of Christ, as he walked the dusty roads of Galilee and of Judea, and as he traversed the streets of Jerusalem, there was a great temple erected by Herod the Great. But God is not in the business of building physical temples today. He's building a spiritual temple. And Peter, I believe, referred to this psalm as he talked about the Christians being living stones put into the temple of God. God is building his temple. It's an invisible temple. It's spiritual, but yet it's real. It consists of people. People who are joined to Christ, the one who is the head of the corner. Are you joined to Christ today? This is a psalm of great and wonderful comfort. And I say this in closing. What are your worries? What are your fears? At the beginning of the psalm, the psalmist, he talked about his distresses. He said, I called upon the Lord in distress. And then he said, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. What are your distresses today? You trust in the Lord. You trust in this great Saviour. He will carry you through. He will help you. He will be a comforter to you. This psalm has been of great help to suffering Christians over the years, because they show us a Saviour who died and rose again, whom we can trust, and whom we can rely upon, and whom we can look to. The last of the Huguenot martyrs in France in the 18th century, they found consolation in the psalm as they went to the scaffold, as they went to be condemned to death for their faith. They stood firm, and they would often have referred to the psalm, because they were not trusting in men, they were trusting in the Christ who died and rose again. Are you trusting in him today? Bring your life to him. Consecrate it to his service. Commit yourself to Jesus Christ. Then go out and live for him in this world, and bring others into the fold of the Saviour. For thank God, we have a Saviour who died and rose again, and therefore we can say, in God's mercy endureth forever. I thank you so much for listening.